Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 11. Violette. Spiders hung beneath the crumbling brick arches, their shadows looming over Fleur's head as she led him along the river edge.
The Bridge of Secrets?
She pointed a finger up at the drum of feet over her head.
A more appropriate place for this entrance there is not.
Plenty of more convenient ones, though, Henry muttered, clawing cobwebs away from his face.
How is it that you went through first and didn't get a single strand of web on you, but I'm covered in them?
Fleur smirked.
Luck, Mormo.
She raised her fingers, wiggling them in a shimmer of heat haze.
And it isn't magic.
Cheat, he grumbled. I feel like I'm wearing 1,000 little spiders. She reached over and brushed off his shoulder.
Just the one spider, actually?
Harry slipped his wand from his sleeve, transfiguring his face, hair and eyes.
And now? I do not like it when you change your face.
Fleur wrinkled her nose, pulling a silver ring from her pocket. A teal spiral marked the flat top of it, soft light glimmering within the colored pattern.
This is important, she said. But they'll tell you all about that once they accept you?
If they do, she laughed.
Kreese has no choice. There are 4 of us, and Gabby and I refuse to do anything but research. He'll test you to make sure you're not a liability, but between the magic on that ring and how desperate he is, he'll say yes.
What magic is on that ring? Harry eyed its gleam. Nothing dangerous, I hope?
It prevents anyone betraying Les Inconnus, Fleur said. It took Gabby and I a lot of effort to be able to tweak the enchantment so we can act freely.
As long as I'm not about to shackle myself into the service of some shady government agency. She smiled and slid the ring onto her finger.
I was very careful, Mormo. I needed the resources of Les Inconnus to bring you back, but I made absolutely sure I wasn't bound to anything that might get in the way of that.
What color will I get?
It won't be teal, gray, green, red, white, or crimson, Fleur replied.
Those are taken. She pressed her ring to a ring of rust upon a crumbling brick, and the wall shivered.
In we go.
Harry followed her through, stepping through a faint veil of cool magic into a small marble hall.
Sassil!
A low, rough voice rang out through the hall, and a gray-robed figure appeared with a quiet snap.
And Amrit de Colmar, I assume.
Harry nodded.
Greece.
Fleur tucked her wand away.
You said we were short-handed, you keep saying it. So I convinced Henri to come.
If he's good enough, he's in.
Greece strode down the hall, smoothing down the long, thick white sideburns of his beard, and pinned Harry with a serious, pink-eyed stare.
What exactly is your relationship with Sarcelle, Monsieur de Colmar?
Albino, interesting.
Harry stepped forward.
He is my husband now, Henri Delacour.
Fleur tossed her hair over her shoulder.
I already told you we were involved, so there's no point fishing for more. And since I'm pregnant, you will need him all the more.
Grace's pink eyes flicked between them.
Beggars can't be choosers, I suppose.
He pulled his wand out, a gray spiraled ring shining on his finger.
I will test you, Monsieur Delacour. Sarcelle, you may as well continue with your research.
Au revoir, Monco.
Fleur wavered and vanished. Greece's pale brow wrinkled.
What are your strengths, monsieur?
Dueling. Harry met the pink irises. And some more abstract magics.
The sort of stuff you're sidestepping around saying carries no stigma here, Greece said. Necromancy is my forte.
Blood magic.
Dueling will be more useful to us in the immediate future.
Greece pulled out his wand.
Let's see how good you are.
He slid the elder wand out and raised it. If you want.
Confident,
Greece muttered.
Or arrogant. Real fighting isn't the same as the dueling circuit, Monsieur Delacour.
Harry smiled. I've never been on a dueling circuit. An orange spell flashed from Greece's wand, followed by a string of poisonous yellow ones, Harry batted them back at him, watching them fizzle out against a bright white wall of light one by one.
I probably shouldn't use anything anyone might have seen Harry Potter do.
He conjured a string of bright silver sparks, pressing his magic down into the glowing pinpricks and sweeping them across the hall. They burst against Grisha's shield with a thunderclap, and blinding silver light seared at Harry's eyes through his eyelids.
Putain!
Gris growled, his shield wavering. Harry sent a volley of hiccuping hexes at him, punching through the shield, then ripped his wand from his hand with the disarming charm. Gris grunted, squeezing his eyes closed.
Whatever that spell is, monsieur, I don't like it.
He held out his hand.
You're good enough, not that I'm the best test of that.
Not a jeweler? Harry asked, tossing the wand back to Gris. Gris plucked his wand from the air and shook his head.
As I said, I specialize in necromancy. I joined during the Second War against Grindelwald, with a passable knack for enchanting and out of necessity was forced to specialize. Your wife and sister are the real deal, as I'm sure you're aware, monsieur. But there is nobody else to run this place save myself and Vale.
Vale?
You will meet Dal in due course. She's off tracking Le Conqueror, whom I hope we will all be meeting soon. Gris sighed. Perhaps we were too picky during peaceful years. Rouge and Blanc both died attempting to infiltrate Neil Grindelwaldian groups in the last year. And now I find my department is all from the same family.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Indeed not, monsieur.
He tucked his wand away.
Come with me.
Harry trailed him through a wood door in the corner into a brick passage. Where are we going?
Down, monsieur.
Gris pressed his ring against the wall, and balls of soft, white light drifted down from the ceiling.
The catacombs beneath Perry are the perfect labyrinth to hide our work and have proven invaluable in the past. Our outpost here was the hub of resistance to Grindelwald when he threatened to conquer Europe.
Harry stared down at the wall of dark. Is it far?
It won't feel like it.
Gris took a step forward and the air shimmered. He appeared at the edge of the black further down the slope. Harry stepped after him. The walls of the corridor stretched and shrank. Then he was standing beside Gris.
Interesting.
They're useful for both speed of movement and defense, Gris said. If I had not activated the magic with my ring, you would have ended up somewhere quite different. In fact, monsieur, without a ring, you might end up spending a great deal of time stuck down here.
Harry glanced down at the glowing silver band on Gris's ring finger. Do I get one?
In a moment, monsieur.
Gris stepped forward again. Harry followed him, matching his steps as they twisted and turned through a blur of brick corridors and old, worn limestone passages.
I can see what he meant about getting trapped.
Here we go.
Gris touched his ring to a rough fish drawing upon the stone, and the catacomb wall shivered. He stepped through. The lights went out. Harry darted through after him. A glowing marble brazier and floating glass lanterns illuminated a scatter of chairs and dwarf trees in ceramic pots with the brightness of a summer day.
This is the sunshine room, our little downtime room in the center of things,
Gris said, taking a seat beside the brazier.
We could have our introduction meeting here, monsieur.
Fair enough. Harry took a seat opposite him, watching the light of the brazier flicker in Gris's pink eyes. What's next?
The ring.
Gris dipped a hand into his pocket and held out a silver ring with a purple swirl on its surface.
You will be violent. It may be difficult given your relation with Sarcelle and Cramoisi, but once you put this on, you must only refer to yourself and others by our code names.
I'll do my best. He nodded and dropped the ring into Harry's hand.
Gris, Vale, your wife is Sarcelle. Your sister-in-law is Cramoisi. You are Violette.
Gris folded his arms.
The ring's enchanted very carefully. While wearing it, you will be incapable of making choices that you don't truly believe are in the best interest of the department. Those enchantments can't be altered without destroying the ring, and you need the ring to enter or leave here.
So that's what Fleur and Gabby tweaked.
So I only have to wear it when I'm here?
Or if you're out acting under our directives.
Gris held his own ring up into the light.
Which, monsieur, brings me to my next point. Les Encanieux are not a normal department. And despite what you will read and hear about, we are the entire department. There is a lovely group of admin staff, researchers, and specialists on the riverbank 10 miles from here who are Les Encanieux, except, of course, they are not. They deal with everyday mysteries, prophecies, minor espionage, less controversial research. They're unaware we exist. Although you will find that should anyone ask or check, you are also welcome in that office.
So who does know? Harry asked, toying with his ring.
There are only three individuals in the French government who know we exist.
Greece leant back.
They're unable to reveal our identities except under due conditions. If one of us breaks the statute of secrecy, which we'll talk about in a moment, or if we die.
Unable?
An unbreakable vow.
Excellent.
Greece scrutinized Harry with a curious gleam in his pink eyes.
What do you know about this statute of secrecy?
Not to break it. A flash of humor passed across Greece's face.
That's about all they'll tell you unless necessity dictates otherwise.
He pulled his wand from his sleeve and sketched three numbers in the air.
313 AD was the year in which the Roman Empire officially accepted Christianity as a religion. By 380 AD, it was the official religion. And after suffering years of persecution, Christians began to try and suppress the old religions that had looked down on them.
A history lesson? Greece nodded.
Before the statute of secrecy, religion and the magical world walked hand in hand. Where did we get magic from? Did not the gods, monsieur? However, the division between Christianity and Islam and the pagan religions that came before resulted in great distrust of the magical. Whereas before, magical people were seen as kin to the gods, even if these gods might be hostile or strange, now they might be seen as demons, or in league with them. The difference between enemy and evil isn't such a small one, monsieur. Enemies may be great, or kind, or clever, but evil. Evil cannot be redeemed regardless of its qualities.
Witch burnings.
Those came much later.
Greece vanished the glowing numbers between them.
From 380 AD onwards, there was a social revolution. It was no longer wise to risk being known as magical, especially as tensions rose and violence spread, and those that were known were cast down or forced to flee elsewhere. The statute of secrecy wasn't officially declared anywhere for another 1100 years, but it began then.
So that's where you're going with this?
It's important to understand exactly what the statute of secrecy is. It is treated as a debate of high-handed ideals by too many people sitting in peace and comfort, but is the only thing standing between us all and the risk of plunging back into a mire of bloodshed.
If them knowing is a risk, they shouldn't know.
Exactly, monsieur.
Greece conjured another date.
Christianity has a long and bloody history with both the muggle and the magical world, but by the 1900s... the magical had once again risen toward the top of society in Christian Europe. Only this time, they agreed to keep their magic a secret, even between enemies. The earliest written form of the statute was signed half a millennia later between the states of the Holy Roman Empire and the following 400 years of conflict expansion in Western Europe were as much magical as muggle. Various inventions allowed magical communities to spread and share knowledge in ways not possible since the decline of Byzantine power. Magical communities all around the world were absorbed in the Western empires, and the risk of exposure was now no longer a matter of individual risk or even small communities, but a shared threat. A global magical world decided by the later date they are familiar with to create the ICW and declare the statute of secrecy as magical law.
Which everyone is very happy about.
It's a problem that cannot be solved, monsieur, Greece said. You try telling a muggle that his neighbor can kill him without leaving a trace, but that he shouldn't be afraid. It will not work.
Now I imagine they'd want to strike first.
As people often do. He who doesn't strike first is first struck.
Greece changed his number into Grindelwald's mark, and Harry smothered a small smile.
Grindelwald's argument is a seductive mix of practicality and emotion. Individuals like him are the reason the ICW and magical governments were created. They risk us all with their actions.
So what do we do? Harry asked. Assassinate people?
Hardly, monsieur. While magical governments have evolved from small councils into large departments and now can deploy squads of aurors or hit wizards, there are wizards of greater power that require more management than the accidental magic of a toddler. In my opinion, It is the primary reason for our existence. We are the Shadow Hand of France. Within France's realm of jurisdiction, it is our duty to ensure the Grindelwalds and Le Conquelars do not set our world ablaze.
And the research?
It's best to stay ahead of the curve, monsieur.
Chris's expression darkened.
Grindelwald was ahead of us in the Second War, using magic we'd never seen before. He came within a step of victory and breaking the Statute of Secrecy so seriously it couldn't be repaired.
And Le Conqueror?
He is not Grindelwald,
Chris replied.
Not as brilliant, not as powerful, but in his own way just as dangerous. We'll talk more about him and other things when Ver returns.
And now? Chris pulled a silver pocket watch from his robes.
I have to go meet with those three people who know we exist and explain to them why Le Conqueror is just scuttling about. I suggest you return home, Violet. I will see you in 2 days' time at precisely 12:15.
Au revoir, Harry clasped the ring. Can I...
When it's on, yes. However, you can't sidle-along apparate anyone not wearing a ring in or out with you at any time, monsieur.
Greet disapparated with a crack. Harry studied the purple swirl.
No, I'm not putting you on until Fleur's changed the enchantments.
He stood up.
Which means I'll have to wait here until she's ready to walk me out.
He sat back down.
Mad.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.